Come on, go ahead and put a seat in. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you here this morning. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to jump right into things here. I hope the time change hasn't affected anyone. Doesn't sound like it. So we come with a spirit to give to one another here this morning, which is always great. You know, so I can't say I've tried curling, so I'm glad you guys had fun watching curling. We were having fun with the Stevensons watching the Leafs and the Senators game. Didn't quite work out in my favor, but nonetheless, it was good fellowship as we spent our time watching those on the ice rather than being on the ice, but nonetheless, to each their own. You know, last week we talked about maturing in Christ. We're going to have a little short lesson here this morning. Last week we talked about maturing in Christ and how it requires a commitment. Not a half-hearted commitment, but a full-hearted commitment. It requires all the help we can get. Of course, through God's Word that provides the truth that we need in order to grow. How God provides the people for the support in which we need to grow. But also how God provides the environment and circumstances for us to grow as well. And we talked about how maturing in Christ, how it is a process. So today we're going to talk about to mature in Christ, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, what we need is prayer. And so here we're going to take some time to talk about prayer here this morning. As you can call today's lesson, Transformed by Prayer. You know, this past week, our family group, the men, we met together, as well as getting nice, met together outside at a park in Barrhaven to spend some time in prayer. And something we say, you know, we need to do more of this because this is something that's good. You know, and that's what we're going to look at here briefly here this morning. But it's one of the themes that, you know, that we see in the book of James. And as a family group, we've been studying out the book of James and looking at different things that we can draw from the book of James. And so because prayer is something that's very important in the life of a disciple. You know, life is busy. But what's important is that we're never too busy to pray. You know, prayer activates the power in a disciple's life. Prayer keeps us humble, connects us to God's heart, and reveals God's will to us. So as we begin our time here this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer and ask for his blessing on our Bible study here this morning. Father, we are so thankful to be able to be here this morning. Thank you so much for the songs we're able to sing this morning. Thank you so much we're able to take communion together. We're able to take up an offering to meet those in need. But Father, thank you so much that you've given us your word so that, Father, we can learn about prayer. We can learn about, Father, what you want in our lives. And Father, I do pray as we talk about prayer that, Father, each and one of us would take our prayer life even so much higher so that, Father, you can work powerfully in each and every one of our lives. Father, thank you so much. Again, we're able to be here this morning. Please bless our time as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. You know, it is so easy to be involved in long discussions, long talks, long appointments, long Bible studies, long, you name it. And yet, so many times, we can spend so much time doing so many other things. You know what happens? We spend so little time in prayer. You know, when we read in the scriptures, we see that many things only change with prayer. You know, in James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. James chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think you'll receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all he does. You know, here we see James starts off by saying who he is. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here we see James, also known as the brother of Jesus. But he doesn't refer to himself as the brother of Jesus. You know, you think about if you're writing a letter. I know if I was writing a letter, I'd make sure to say, hey, you know what? I am the brother of Jesus. Just to make sure you catch your audience's attention. But James was not like that. Because James had a humble disposition. He knew who he was, and he knew who Jesus was. And you read through the book of James, you know, James also says that, you know, we are but a mist. That's who we are in James 4. He says, we are but a mist. You know, a mist has nothing to brag about. He said, that's who we are. We are but a mist. But James had a humble disposition about himself. And then it talks about in James 2, in James chapter 1, it says, trials of many kind. You know, for them, it was oppression, poverty, opposition. You know, for us, we all have our own challenges in our own life. For some, it might be marriage, family, kids, might be your parents, might be school, friends, health, church, finances, you name it. It may be our big challenge might be we got 1 hour of sleep, one less hour of sleep last night. But you know, we are called to approach different trials in our life with joy. The joy that comes from being a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. But we also need to approach trials with prayer. You know, it says that James earned the reputation as being referred to as old camel knees. He was referred to as old camel knees. Why? Because it said that he prayed so often on his knees that thick calluses formed on his knees. That's why they call him old camel knees. Because he prayed so much on his knees that thick calluses formed. You know, while posture when it comes to prayer is not everything, I'll tell you, it is something. There is something about getting down on your knees, humbling ourselves before God. And that's who James was. That James prayed with a humble disposition. You know, this morning I want you to think about and evaluate, you know, where is your prayer life at this morning? You know, I do believe that none of us, we will ever arrive at having an amazing prayer life. I always do believe there's always room to grow. But what's important is that when we come before God, like James, we understand who we are, and we have a humble disposition before God. We also need to, and James says, we need to also pray for wisdom. That we need to ask God, and God gives us wisdom generously and unconditionally. We see that God wants us to have his wisdom. You know, you think about just in our world. You know, we need to see and recognize our need for wisdom. Because it's so easy to, in life, the day-to-day things that we face, to deal with things as the world deals with things. And even as Christians, sometimes we can use earthly wisdom to try to deal with spiritual problems. But what's important as Christians, we must respect God and ask for his wisdom in our day-to-day life situations. But we need to open up our hearts to be able to receive God's wisdom. But when we're unable to receive it, if our goals are self-centered rather than God-centered, well, it's important that we must have prayers that are centered on doing God's will. And God will reveal and give us the wisdom that we need in our lives. In James chapter 4, turn with me there. We're just going to look at different parts from the book of James this morning that more refer to prayer. James chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." You know, we need to pray with a humble disposition. We need to pray and ask God for wisdom. But we need to pray with a pure heart before God. You know, James talks about, you know, conflicts, disputes among believers and how harmful they are. But he says, where do they come from? He says, he explains that they come as a result from the evil desires that battle within us. Our desire to want something. You think about it in our day-to-day life. Are we not faced with, you know, want? You want more. You want more of this. You know, we want either more money, more possessions, more recognition, more status. We live in a world of want. And we want so much to fulfill these desires that we do whatever it takes to be able to try and get it. And instead of grabbing after what we want, we should submit ourselves to God. You know, it's so easy to believe we have our heart in the right place when we want something, but our heart is not in the right place. You know, I see that at times when I may be praying for somebody. And I go, God, I want to pray for this person because I might have their best interest in mind. But meanwhile, if I find that person to be challenging, what I really want is for them to be a more lovable person to make things a lot more easier for me. So rather than me having to deny myself, be more like Jesus and give up myself, God, I want to pray for this person. But as opposed to, I need to be praying for my heart to be in the right place. But it's so easy to go, you know what? I felt good about praying for them. But my motive, not in the right place. You know, for sometimes it could be, you know, we might pray for a job. You know, God, I pray for this job so that, you know, I can make a great impact where I am. And really, when it's all said and done, we're praying for that job because it's 6 digits rather than 5. You know, if we're honest with ourselves. Or, you know, you think about it. For those, you know, I know some might play the lottery. You know, I pray that I win X amount of dollars so that, you know what, I can give half of it to charity. And God's like, don't fool yourself. God's like, we know you're not giving half to charity. You don't even give $5 to church on Sunday morning. But sometimes we might fool ourselves to think that, you know what, I would do this, I would do that. What's important is making sure our heart is in the right place and we pray with a pure motive. You know, we also need to, in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 13. It says, "Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone even sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. You know, the Bible says that we need to pray for each other. You know, if you're in trouble, it says, hey, you know what? Pray. Now, we need to respond to trouble, whatever trouble we have in our life, respond to it with prayer. Not with complaining, resentment, retaliation, but respond in prayer. Honest, heartfelt prayer where we bring our burdens, whatever we're wrestling with, anxiety, we're honest and real with God. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. If you're sick, call the elders to pray over them. But it also says to pray for each other. You know, to be transformed by prayer also requires that we allow people to pray for us so that we can be transformed. And that will require confessing our sin to one another, vulnerable, open relationships with brothers and sisters so that they know where we're at so they can pray for us. When we're open about what we're going through, people can powerfully and effectively pray for us. Yes, it's important that we pray about our struggles. But you know, at times God wants for us to humble ourselves, share with other people, other believers, with whatever we're going through so that they can pray for us. And pray powerfully and effectively for us. You know, in verse 17 and 18, it says, Elijah was a man just like us. He was a man just like you and I. And it says that he was an example of prayer. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That is prayer. And it said again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. You know, Elijah was a man. I think sometimes we need to hear that over and over again. So he was a man just like us. And when he prayed, we see that it says that it did not rain for 3.5 years. You know, when you read through the scriptures, you see that great events, historical events, were preceded by prayer. That great event in history, time and time again, when you're reading the scriptures, were the result of people's prayer. You know, where are things at in your life here this morning? You know, I challenge you to believe and to pray with faith. Pray for God to maybe stop something. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's discontent, maybe suffering, maybe challenges. You know, the same way that it stopped, that Elijah prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. Just to pray, have the faith to believe, hey, God can stop this. I just need to pray. But also pray for God to produce something in our life. Whether it be something that you want to see happen in your family life, some of the great things you want to see happen in your character, your family, the church, relationships, school, work, you name it. But to be bold and to pray and ask God to do something amazing in your life. Pray for something amazing to happen and believe that, as it says, all things are possible with God, that everything is possible for the one who believes. You know, we worship a God who is not limited by any circumstance. He's not limited by any weakness. But you know what? He's limited if we don't ask. And what's important is that we believe and we pray with faith and allow God to open up the floodgates in whatever areas of our life. And God will do amazing things. You know, as we've seen in the book of James, as we've touched on different things, you know, James, he prayed with a humble disposition. You know, let's be humble before God. Let's realize who we are apart from God. Let's realize who we are on our own strength. And let's have a humble disposition before God and allow God to work in our lives. Let's pray and ask God for wisdom. Same way to humble ourselves. You know, God, we don't know the answers. And let's not rely on earthly wisdom, but let's go to God and pray to God for His wisdom to deal with whatever things we have in our hearts and in our lives. But as we pray, let's pray with our hearts and motives in the right place. And let's pray with faith, believing that, you know, we worship a powerful God. With God, a God who, with all things, with Him, all things are possible. And allow God to do great things as we approach God in prayer. I do believe that if we humble ourselves before God, we pray with faith, we ask God, that I believe God can transform ourselves individually. God can transform different circumstances or give us the strength to deal with the circumstances. And I do believe God can do amazing things because, amen, we do worship an amazing God. Amen.